Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Position did you play? You look like a tricky winger.
Yeah. Everyone says I look like a centre midfielder.
I'm a winger.
The truth is, yeah, I'm an old school Gary Neville right back. Yeah. Not getting no step over me. So I'm just waiting for someone to take a heavy touch and I'm going flying in.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. I'm with my right-hand man, Dej, and he's sitting on my left. What are you saying to me, brother?
I'm good, brother. You know, another guest, another episode. I think consistency is the name of the game. And also getting, like, viewpoints from different angles of football, managers, players, you know, coaches, parents. You know, and I think today adds a different layer as well. So, like, yeah.
100%, man. We've been talking off air. This is one that I'm obviously very excited about. But before we introduce our special guest, I just want to plug the socials at @podcast_TBG on Twitter, @TBGpod on TikTok, and @pod_TBG on Instagram. Leave a comment, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're on the road to the 30k subscribers, so please show your support by helping the channel grow. We are delighted to announce we are joined in the studio with the main man, Brody Cousins.
Welcome, brother.
Thank you.
How you doing, bro? You good?
Yeah, I'm all good. How are you guys?
Very well, thanks,
very
bro.
Well, man. Good.
You know what? I think the best way to start this is to probably just give us some context about you in regards to like what you actually do. So you took an Uber here today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting in the Uber and the Uber driver says, hi, like, what do you do? What do you say?
So I've got a fitness consultancy company that works with a variety of clients, from obviously like 9-to-5 office workers, business owners, and then obviously professional footballers, YouTubers, etc., trying to help them achieve their fitness goals and what they need for their, well, for the professionals, what they need for their game on a Saturday.
So like, how did you get into that? Because obviously to be in this space, did you play or do you just know the right people? How would you say you like got into the position?
I've always, like, to be fair, my network's always been quite good, but I didn't actually know any professional footballers when I started this as such. But I've always played football. I went to a college scheme. So it wasn't a scholarship, it was a college scheme like, run by Luton. But to be fair, like the way it was run, it was exactly like being like a pro club at that level, the way it was set up. And whilst I was there, obviously I didn't get no pro contracts, anything like that. And they said at the end of my second year, obviously you got to do a BTEC level 3. They said, is there like anything you want to do moving forward? And I said like the personal training, because I see a guy called Jamie Velocity.
Jamie's been doing this for
a while now. I said, what he does, if I can't be a footballer, for me that's like the next best thing. So thankfully at Luton, and They put me on a course. Luckily at the time they were sponsored by Barnfield College, so we went there, carried on training like full time for a year, and then from that's how I got into it.
So what position did you play? You look like a tricky winger.
Everyone says I look like a centre midfielder.
I'm a winger.
The truth is, yeah, I'm an old school Gary Neville right back. I'm not getting no step over me. So I'm just waiting for someone to take a heavy touch and I'm going flying in.
So in terms of like progressing, so obviously, you know, you don't make it as a footballer, then you went into, you know, a different avenue. So like, what sort of steps did you take to get yourself into a position to start building?
You know what it's like, when I sit in the position that I'm in now, like I did actually really like dream of being at this stage, because when I first got a qualification and I left the college scheme, I applied for jobs at that Pure Gym, Fitness First, Gym Box, and I didn't get anything. And then luckily I ended up landing a job at Fitness First Highbury, which is local to me, which is the old Arsenal Stadium. And that was like ideal, that was perfect. I was a massive Arsenal fan growing up. I say it now, but it was funny because the first 4 years of my career, I didn't tell any of my clients who I supported because I didn't want them to think. I don't know, it's just a weird conflicts. Thing. I didn't tell anyone. Especially when I got Ains, it was like, oh, I'm not telling Ains I support Arsenal because, yeah, like, I don't want to think that I'm gassed that he's here, even though I was gassed that he's here. So, got a job at Fitness First as a fitness instructor, doing 3 days a week. I didn't actually personal train for like six, seven months, and I was so content. Like, I was so happy, actually. No, I was happy. I was just cleaning equipment. Just doing normal fitness instructing roles. Then I took on a class. And then from a class, I started personal training. And then it was that summer when I was just turned 20, that I messaged my friend Hamada, who's at Luton with me. And Hamada's probably the first person in the chain, because there's a chain of people that I always talk about. Whoever I talk to, there's a chain of people that I'll do anything for them. And Hamada was probably the first person. I called him, I said, look, obviously Mukhtar, his brother Mukhtar Ali, is at Chelsea. Does he want to do a session this summer? And he was like, yeah. So done my first session with Mooks. He was fasting at the time, so it was at 2 a.m. in the gym in Edmonton or wherever it was. And That was my first step to like working with professional footballers, and it's, since then it's never really looked back.
So when you went into like personal training, was that always like the goal to end up working?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
In my head, I always said I've got a good friend who's a massive fan of your show. And we were sitting on the train going to Luton.
Big him up, man. What's his name? Let's shout him out.
You know what? He actually said to me, do not say my name. he said the only reason why is because he sat on the train and I said to him, like, bro, I'm going to work at Premier League footballers. And he sat there eating a Subway. This is what he used to have every morning, Subway from Finsbury Park. And he laughed and said, bro, you ain't going to work at Premier League footballers, bro. Like, there's more chance of you being a pro footballer than working with Premier League footballers. Mm. And that's why he said, don't let people know I was the man that put you down. So it was always something that in my head I knew I wanted to do. It was a goal that I thought was, with like hard work, determination and like doing self-study on the body, that I'd be able to do. And I probably believed in myself a lot more in this field than I ever did playing football. So I knew it was the end goal, and I'm far from where I want to be, by the way. This isn't like I'm sitting here saying, yeah, like, I've achieved exactly what I want. I'm far, far, far from where I'd be. But
that's interesting. So why did you believe in this journey rather than the football? Is it because you kind of control it, whereas football, there's a lot of different variables where, you know, managers, politics, that kind of thing?
You know what? I think there's two things. I think the first thing was that when I first started personal training, I just had, like with my normal clients, I was just achieving goals with them. And I just had a knack for it. It would just come so naturally to me to train people to take classes. And I think the second thing is, we were talking before the show started about when you come from certain areas, football's all you got and you have to, that's the only way out. I feel like that drive for me came when I knew I wasn't going to be a footballer, but I wanted to be involved with professional footballers so bad. I thought, this is it now. Like, I have to make this work. And don't get me wrong, the year that COVID hit, I still trained Mukhtar Ali. Mukhtar's done every single year from 2018 with me to now. But the year before COVID, I had like Cole Capitis came in, Josh Onoma started. I still got Josh. Josh Onoma started. And then that year after COVID, I had Mooks and like an under-23 player from Norwich, and I had no one. And I remember Mooks moving to Vitesse in Holland.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I thought, maybe I am just going to be a personal trainer, which ain't a problem because I enjoyed it. But that drive just kept coming through like, no.
So how do you manage that sort of situation? You lose your clients or everyone's gone in different directions. What do you do to like manage that mentally and also like
you've got
to kick on?
You've got to, I think you've got to naturally problem solve. It's a little bit like when COVID struck, right? I remember actually calling my mum in tears because I was like, I've worked so hard to get this business to where it is. And they're shutting all the gyms. And I'll say it now because I've given the equipment back. And I remember sitting there thinking, what can I do? And I thought, you know what? Called one of my boys at Fitness First Highbury. I said, listen, cover the camera in the studio room. And there's like a equipment called Les Mills.
Mm.
And it's like, it comes with weights, but you can click the weights on and off a bar. So mm-hmm. you can use them as hand weights or bar weights.
Mm.
Best believe my car was dragging off the floor at the car park because I had so many weights. And what I done is I called my clients and I said, right, look, like, who wants to try the Zoom? And I had about 7 clients say, yeah, we'll try it. So I just hand delivered all of these weights before we went into lockdown. And to be fair, my business was good in lockdown. Like, I wasn't bothered about coming in or out. I wasn't bothered about it. And I think that's just something you always got to do. Like you got a problem solve, and then it's like, people have reached out to like Ads the Connect. He's the one that connected me with Josh and Cole Walker Peters back in 2019, which was obviously massive for me. Cole just come off of the back of the Champions League run to the final with Tottenham. Again, and that was another situation. I was absolutely starstruck when them two walked in. Like starstruck. Like it was, that's when it felt very real, you know, and it's a moment where in your head you're like, will a Premier League player ever want to pay for my service? Because that's like, remember they're top clubs, and then I remember sitting down with Josh and saying like, right, did you enjoy the session? He said, bro, I loved it. And then I gave him the price, and it's like everything went like, in my head went dead silent, because you never know. And he's like, bro, yeah, of course, like do them 4 or 5 sessions a week in the off season. And I was like, it weren't necessarily about, it's not about, and I say this now, it's not about the money that you make, it's the fact that these players are saying like, we trust you. You know, that's a big thing for professional athletes to say, like, we trust you privately. Something that's not, it's big in America. All the NBA players, like, they've all got personal trainers. That's like normal. But in this country, it's still not like a natural thing to have a personal trainer, especially in season, which obviously now my business is starting to grow massively in season.
Because you went through a journey. Like, I want to talk to you about like your family, because to make that leap of faith from doing what you were doing into what you're doing, it's like you need a lot of things to happen to make that dream happen. Were your family like always supportive, or did they doubt it? Did you tell them, oh, mum, dad, this is what I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah.
It might take X amount of years, but hang with me, like support me.
I think the relationship that I got with my mum is like, my dad was murdered when I was 6. So me and my mum are extremely tight, but being real, my dad wasn't like, I'd see him every weekend, but my mum played every role for me growing up. Mm. You know, my mum was she's a very hard worker. She had 3 jobs when I was working, like coming up. And I watched my mum go from a cleaner to an NHS to a practice manager. You know, that takes a lot of hard work. And so I think because my mum's got that work ethic and that got embedded in me, I think my mum believed anything you want to do, like you can go and do it. So I was never scared about taking a risk because I knew that I had that support system at home. And I think like for people that don't have that support system to really go and achieve your goals and dreams, because I'll be honest, nothing's plain sailing. Like nothing is plain sailing at all. Whether it's with work or how you are in your own life. I've had problems with my own life. Like there was one time when I built up mad parking tickets, bro. Like crazy. Like I know it sounds silly, but I'm talking like racks.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is to the point where one of my off season, that's what I was clearing. I was clearing parking tickets with one of my off seasons like 2 years ago. And but that affects you. Like it's stress.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, but I've always had a support system to be like, it's fine. My mum said to me this year, sorting out your immature behaviour with parking tickets. But look what you've done. Next year, like, you kick on. So I'm quite fortunate with the support I got at home from my mum and that.
So in regards to, like, sort of what you offer to athletes, like, let's say if we put it in a hypothetical scenario, I'm a footballer that's struggling at the moment. My game is not going well. I'm not playing well on the pitch. why would someone want to come to you to seek your services?
To be fair, when I first started, I only ever done strength and conditioning. Mm. And I think now, because of how my socials look, people forget that. My clients actually all do strength and conditioning with me. It's just the off season, a lot of it's on field.
Yeah.
And again, it was actually Mooks in COVID that said, like, do you reckon we can get a pitch somewhere? We used a public park. I'd never really done on field stuff, so I just went online, went on Networld, ordered a load of equipment, and then again it was another thing that it just come naturally to me. Like I went there, I didn't have a session plan. I asked Mooks what he wanted to work on, and naturally like a plan just come in my head about 2 hours before, and it was like boom boom boom, and Mooks said that was tops. But I'm actually, it all started like with the S&C. So, an S&C, I think a lot of people think that's like crazy heavy lifting. It's not. The athlete has to be injury bulletproof. So my goal, if you was to come to me and say, right, to get you to the top of your game, we have to ensure you do not get injured. Because if you look at a lot of athletes, when their career might take a slip, it's due to an injury, or they might not be playing, and then when they come back playing, they're not at maximum fitness. So that's my main aim, is to make sure that you're going to be at the top of your game without having any injuries. And that's something that I go by. I've worked with quite a lot of pros now, but there's only a handful that can ever say they've had a muscular injury during the season.
It's interesting because I remember Keenan Davis, before he started using your services, he used to have like little niggles here and there. Then obviously used you, then obviously had a nice run in the team.
So Keen's, I started working with Keen's. Well, when I first had the meeting with him, he had a slight injury. He was on loan at Watford. And we sit down and we broke down like everything, lifestyle, everything. And we targeted the muscle groups that were failing, if you wanted to say. And then towards the end of last season, Keane had a strong end. I think it was the last 12 games, got, I think it was 7 goals, 3 assists. Mm-hmm. And we started doing pitch work. I've got to say this.
Yeah.
Keenan refused in training to use his right foot. And we done a whole session, right foot, right foot, right foot. Mm-hmm. And on the last game of the season, I went with my stepdad. And me, my stepdad, Keenan's dad, sat down. And we watched the game, and Keane scored with his right foot. I've never been, so I don't think Watford fans understood why I was getting so crazy. Yeah.
Like, this guy's moving mad.
2-0, they're not getting promoted. They're not sure if Keenan's coming back, because obviously he's on loan from Villa. And I'm going wild because he scored with his right foot. I mean, it weren't the cleanest goal, but listen, I got the goal.
So in terms of like drills, so I'm struggling with my ankle, for example. What sort of drills would you use to sort of diagnose the issue, get to the bottom of it?
So with your injuries, it wouldn't necessarily be drills. It would be, it's in gym, isn't it?
Okay, so mobility work.
Like mobility is a big thing. Like obviously Ains is over at Leon now, but we do two, three mobility and injury prevention sessions a week. So it's just certain exercises that's going to strengthen and mobilise that part of the body.
Yeah.
So like I came last week to watch one of your sessions with a few pros Friday. And that I was enjoying it. Like Jade De Silva was slapping them in.
Yeah.
A few of the other boys as well just slapping it in. And the thing that I came away with it was like the camaraderie. Like I think these are boys that might not have met before.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the first, but it seemed like everyone knew each other. Like it was energetic, it was vibey, but the work was getting done, most importantly.
Yeah, so it's like I tried to create like a family environment, and I feel like that with all of my clients. Mm-hmm. So obviously Friday session was Jade De Silva, Ty Backinson, Nesta Guinness Walker, and Nathan Tormey. Then obviously I got my goalkeeper in goal, Will Hunt. It's a big part of the business, because I think one of my unique selling points from a business point of view is that I always have a goalkeeper in goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need a moving object in goal. It can't just be a still, like, and that's not putting down anyone that uses a session like with the nets or puts a goal in the goal, but for me personally, I invest in a goalkeeper to be in a session.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a more realistic feel of what happens in the game, you know. Ains loves it because he dinks keepers all the time. He's terrorising some keepers in my sessions. But so yeah, so I think obviously Ness is at Reading. Ty and Jay played with each other at Bristol City. Oh. Obviously Jay's at Cov now. Ty's at Sheffield. And then Nathan was at Arsenal. He's currently a free agent. But apart from Jay and Ty, that's the first time we've met. But as you know, like when we first get there, I want all the boys to have banter together. I want it to be like a change room feel before we start. Because the last thing you want is that you turn up, warm up, you get going.
Yeah.
You know, because you never know how a player is in terms of your confidence at that moment in time as well. You know, if you look at Nathan, like Nathan, as unfortunately had a few injuries in the last few years. So that would have been his first time training in a group with pros that have been playing championship week in, week out. So you want everyone to feel comfortable so then they can really relax and showcase their ability in the session and get the most out of it.
No, 100%, bro. In regards to like managing your schedule, how do you do that? Because you must be busy.
Like, really and truthfully, I was thinking about if you was going to ask me something this before I come on. And it's like, my one like downfall, I'd say, is I don't actually look after myself properly. And I know that, like, everyone said to me, like, because obviously I've done some work with like Steve Bartlett and things like that, and everyone always asks him about the whoops that he's got. The only reason I don't wear the whoop is because I know it's not going to look good. So for my own mental health, for my own anxiety, is bliss, like, you know, I get up at 4 Monday to Friday. I get up at 5 Saturday and Sunday. And I could, like yesterday, for example, so my first session was 5 a.m. I worked 5 till 8 in London. Then I drove up to Coventry for an in-season mobility session with Jay. Drove back to Wadham Lodge in East London. Then drove back to Islington for a few more in-season sessions with pros. Then I've obviously, after 5 o'clock, I've got my 9-to-5 clients that can name loads and that mean that's a lot to me. Dave, Kate, Jonas, Dave, I do before or after work. So like last night, I'll get home at like 9:45. Ooh. And then I'm like, my own training always gets disregarded. And that's something I'm trying to work on, my sleep and my own training. So I've trained every day this week, which is like the first time since before I had my camp in Dubai in June. Wow. That's only because I knew there was a cameraman in Dubai. So I
needed to get that pump. Yeah.
couldn't have little Cordy standing next to me.
No, so in terms of like planning, because again, as you said, you're driving up, down and everywhere. So do you feel you always have to be at the session, or are you trying to get it to a level where it's almost like a franchise where Brody Cousins Fitness, it's got the same feel as if you were there, but you're not there, if that makes sense.
So
you're working on your business and not in your business all the time.
It's hard. It's because I feel like, especially with the academy, because I've got the Brody Cousins Academy now, one of the hurdles that I've been facing is that a lot of the kids obviously want to work with Brody Cousins because it's in the name and that's the one they see on the Brody Cousins Fitness, working with Maitland Nazis and Chances and whoever. So, but I've now got a small team together. We've got a business plan and we're going to try and attack it a little bit differently in 24 to understand that it doesn't have to be me doing it. So it's something that I'm working on. So hopefully, if I ever sit down with you guys again, we can talk about how
the different franchises in Dubai and all over the place.
How that works out.
100. Talk to us about that summer training camp in Dubai. How was that? I saw my guy Viv out there. Yeah, so
Big up Viv.
I like Viv a lot. So Dubai is something that I always say is that I've had a 10-year plan. I've got a lot of things on my 10-year plan. And Dubai was one of them that, after the first off season with Mooks, obviously I've always been really close to Hamada. And I said to Hamada, I said, bro, one day we're going to do this in Dubai. I was 20 years old at the time. So it was 6 years ago. I said, one day we're going to do this in Dubai. And Hamada said, no, 100%. And then I was sitting, I can't remember where I was, and Ainsley called me and he said, like, yo, we're working this summer. I said to him, all right, cool. He's like, it's got to be hot. I said, what should we do, Dubai? And he was like, yeah. So then from there, I just spoke to my graphic designer who does my posters and that. I put the poster out and the response I got from it was crazy, man. Like, yeah, it was tops. Took me back a little bit. So I thought I was only going to be there for 10 days. Yeah. Ended up being there for 24. Got there early because Jay De Silva was there earlier than Ains was. And obviously Viv, Josh Onomar, they all come at different times. Yeah. Charlie Sayers was there for a lot of time. Ruben Shatpo was there a lot of time. So got it in place, hit up a few places out there. And really, I stepped into the unknown. It was a little bit scary. I had the soccer aid with Chunks and Nico.
Yeah.
So I actually had to change my flights because I got all my dates mixed up to Manchester, to Dubai. So I'd done the Sidemen, I'd done the soccer aid game with Chunks and Nico and Steve. And then the next morning, I woke up in Manchester by myself at like 4, jumped on a flight to Dubai and really was just stepping into the unknown. Jay was flying that night with Cole, and then I had the Tuesday to just go and visit everywhere that I was looking to use. Obviously we used Precision Football, we used Sanya's Facility Ballers in downtown for the gym, And then Wednesday, yeah, we just got it cracking. And you know, as soon as Jay and Cole and Rio walked in, it's that whole feeling of, I knew I was meant to be here.
Yeah.
Like what I said, throughout, there was moments in my career, I was like, this is what I'm meant to be doing. And I thought, yeah, this is what I'm meant to be doing. And it's, and then, yeah, ended up having like quite a few people once whilst I was there, because I'd done a photo that these are taking the mick out of, because I'd done about three Vianney pictures in like 4 days, and I done one in Dubai saying like touchdown Dubai, and like Kieran photo of KCP, like a few people reposted it for me, and I couldn't believe how many DMs I got, to the point where I was like, I was saying to people like, no, I haven't got space, because what I've never wanted to do is I've never wanted to be like 20 players on a pitch. I always want my stuff to be tailored. Like the gym,
so quality over quantity kind of thing.
So all the gym sessions, I had max 8 people in the group sessions, and then after we finished at Precision, I would get a cab down to Ballers, and then it would be like Ames would come in for his 1-to-1 gym, Charlie would come in for his 1-to-1 gym, Viv would come in for his 1-to-1 gym. So it all had to be tailored, so I didn't actually have enough room for the amount of inquiries that I was getting. So, but again, that's something that I'm talking to a few coaches that I want to work with about next year, and even the next one, because there's talks of me doing like, it's a transfer. It could happen.
You're in talks.
I'm looking to it in a few international breaks as well. That was proper sick, man. That was tops. That was probably the best month of my life, I'll be honest.
Because when you were talking, you mentioned so many names. You mentioned Chunks. You mentioned Philly, Nico, Ainsley, Jay De Silva. So I know relationships in your business is very, very key, but... So how would you say someone like, I don't know, a Joe Bloggs that wanted to do what you're doing, passionate about football, maybe not had a football career, but wants to get into this side of thing, like they're passionate about fitness, how would you kind of tell them to get into it?
Hard work. Yeah. I think you're not going to sleep that much. So I hope you're not a fan of sleep, because you got to get ahead of people. You know what I mean? Like people, I saw someone put up the other day on my Instagram that, I don't know how people get up at 5, 6 a.m. You get up at 5 and 6 a.m. because you have a desire and a hunger and a drive to achieve something. And at the end of your story, like for me, at the end of my time doing this, whenever that will be, 30, 40, 50, 70 years time, I want people to look back and go, yeah, like he was one of the like pivots for the way one-to-one training with athletes is looked at in this country now. And you've got to have a real desire. So I'd say you work hard, study away from, because a lot of people ask me if I've been to university. I've never been to university, but I'm so interested in what I do. I sit at home and I do hours and hours of studying on the body, and more now. So I've recently just got my first job in professional football with a professional club in Dubai, and now like, I sit at home and I'm watching coaching sessions on YouTube and studying coach and reading books. I've got the Pep Guardiola book now.
Yeah.
And it's like, but never skip a video. So one video might have 1 million views and one might have 250. But I've always said, everyone you meet in life, no matter what road they're on or what they're doing, you can learn something from everyone. I've been in like some gyms and some PTs are miles off it, like miles off it. But you know what? I've learned something from every single one of them that I've taken away and I use to this day. So be a sponge for information. And I always say, the harder you work, the better luck you make for yourself, really.
So do you look at anyone within your industry and say, you know what, that's like the sort of pinnacle, that's where I want to get to? Is there anyone that you look at for inspiration?
I look at Jamie Velocity, and I think for this country, I think like, to my knowledge anyway, he's one of the first I see do it. You know, he's got his own studio in Birmingham. He's gone on to work with like Anthony Joshua. And we're talking like AJ's like, that's world champion status. That's, you can't get much bigger than that in boxing. Then over in America, there's a guy called Bruno. He's tops. He works with a lot of NBA players. And Josh Train, who's like Kevin Hart's trainer. And like these guys are tops. But them Americans are next level. Like Josh Train trains at like 3 a.m. So they're the kind of people that I look at. And I think like, that's where I want to get to. I actually was talking to a guy called Baz Training. Baz is based in the UK, and I was on his page the other day, and I said, you know, it's quite refreshing, because I haven't got many followers on Instagram. I've got like 7,500.
Come on, that's 7,500.
No, but
to the people you're trading.
Like, yeah, like some people are 250,000, 100K. And Baz, he's like to a similar following mark, but his thing's serious, you know. When I can tell his page, like, yeah, like,
this is proper.
His one was like, and I actually messaged him, and I just said to him, like, yo, bro, like, just. I think he liked my post from the other day, the session he was at, and I followed him, yo bro, like, it's nice to see that, like, someone with not a huge following base is really doing their thing. Like, he's got some serious names on there. I think it was at Madders. Obviously I train Pans, but I think Pans, he's done a few things with him as well. And so I just started rapping with him in the DMs. But that's someone in this country I look at, I think, yeah, your thing's serious, because he done his in Marbella. I think he done his one in Marbella this year.
Because obviously you work with like a lot of well known people, so what's the perks of being Brody Cousins? You work with Stephen Bartlett, so you must be getting like tickets to go to games. Like, well, what's the perks, would you say?
You know what? Yeah, I was having a conversation. I'm going to one of my friends is fighting, like, doing a white collar tomorrow night, and he's like to me, I'm not big time, by the way. He's like to me, so when do you want to pay for the tickets to drop them off? And I said, pay for the tickets. I said, bro, I ain't paid for a ticket for no event in about 2 years, bro. So that's one thing. Like, obviously, like, some of the players have got boxes. You always get like complimentary tickets. Then obviously, like, Saturday, I was up in Manchester for the Misfits events. Because them YouTubers, they're top boys, you know. Like, they deserve everything. Like,
yeah, talk to us about that, because some people, I would say, it's like the old school mindset. They sort of look at them and feel, these guys, they haven't, I don't know, got talent to box or whatever. They're kind of stealing the spotlight away from boxers. But you know these guys, you train these guys in the gym. So, like, what would you say to those kind of people, that the detractors?
It's funny, because obviously Chunks started training with me in December, and he messaged me regarding football training for Soccer Aid and the Sandman game. And obviously when he DM'd me, I was like, right, like, when Chunks DM'd me, it was crazy, because I don't follow him, he don't follow me. There was like not really any mutuals where I'd say like, yeah, like, it makes sense, it come through him. And it was just like something like, yo dog, where you based? Like, bro, this is mad, you know. But I don't actually know much about YouTube. So I only really knew Chunks, I watched Does a Shoe Fit. In lockdown. So he came in, and obviously when on his first session, like, it was at like December the 27th or something, like, it was freezing, it was raining. And I remember saying,
you've got a vivid memory.
There's a few sessions I'll never forget. This is one of them. So it was like, and he wanted to do like 7 p.m. But when I tell you it was raining, in my head, the session was cancelled. And I hit him on Instagram, because obviously a lot of these people you talk with, and that's what I always say, when these people then finally give you a number, that's when it takes a long time to build his trust and seconds to break. And that's when I know, like, I'm locked in with these people. So at the time, he was talking Instagram, and like, I messaged him, like, yo, bro, like, all good for this evening. And when I tell you it was raining, it was, like, bad. And he was like, yeah, bro. So I thought he was going to turn up with, like, an entourage, and he came by himself. And it was, like, Chunks is, like, probably one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Like, he's humble. Like, I say to him all the time, like, you deserve everything you've got, and that's coming your way. But they work extremely hard. Like, Steve Bartlett came in, and his session, like, they're so, you can see why these people are so successful. Nico as well, like, Nico, when he comes in, and like, what I've got to know of Nico, I think he's, when he got onto that island on his recent, he had a YouTube where he got onto an island where it's like illegal to go on this island, it's completely banned. But when someone said to me, oh, like, because everyone now says to me, like, they talk to me like, I know everything about these guys. Nico just got into the island, but it's this island on his YouTube. But from his characteristics, I'm not surprised. And now that I've got to know him on a personal level, when he ran for mayor and he done as well as he did, I'm actually not surprised. Like, I feel like he's disturbed. Anything he says he's going to do, Nico's going to do it. He's that determined. So there's a lot of people that throw like a lot of shade on his YouTubers. Yeah, but when you actually know them and their work ethic and how hungry they are to get to where they are and even further, they deserve a lot more credit and respect. Like, after the Sidemen game that we recently had at the West Ham Stadium, was back at the hotel afterwards, and Chunks, I don't know much about YouTube, I only started watching it recently. I said to Chunks, how are you doing? He's like, bro, I'm uploading my video from today. I said, what? So, bro, have you eaten that? Are we going to chill? He's like, nah, I need to get
this is serious.
He said, I'm back on YouTube. this video needs to go up. Bro, that video is up that evening again. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we just see like the clips and the cuts. There's a whole process of making it all come together. Like you guys know with your podcast, mm-hmm. it's not mm-hmm. as easy as they just sit down and all clicks into place. You know, so it's they're top guys, man. They're top.
Even like training iShow Speed, because he's like the international global sort of superstar, isn't it? How was that experience, man?
That will come up again. Like I always say, like Hamada, Ads, Cordinals, like Illy, like these are people that like are proper made. If you take them four people away, Brody Cousins Fitness ain't Brody Cousins Fitness, and I'm not too quite sure where it would be at today. And Illy's obviously the one that sent Chunks my page at the time. So Illy called me. He said, "Yo, you're around Thursday night?" This was on Wednesday. I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, be at West Ham's training ground because Nico's doing a game for the Sidemen game on Saturday." So I said, "All right, cool." So I've gone down there and sitting there. And Nico's come up to me and gone, "Brody, what are you saying?" Obviously, I've trained Nico at this point in time. Yeah, Nico, what are you saying? He's like, "Yeah, good. You need to get mic'd up." I said, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you need to get mic'd up because you need to talk to the camera. You need to do this. But apart from doing a few podcasts, I've never been mic'd up. I don't have YouTube. Like, it's not really been.
It's not your world. Basically.
I do my training. Yeah, I have my banter with my close ones, and that's about it." So he's mic'd me up and he's gone, "Right, go and listen." They've got a whole camera crew there. This is like proper, like there's like 20 people, there's like mics, and they're like, "Right, cool, you have to turn around, introduce yourself, you're the pro football coach." And I was like, "This is crazy." But as this is all happening, I'm really nervous. Right? I've turned around, I've gone, "Hi, I'm Brody Cousins." As that's happened, I can hear this mad noise coming from the car park. I see iShow Speed walking. Yeah? So I'm like, and this was the first time I met Philly a few times at a few like Chips event and that, but this is the first time I ever spoke to him. And so I'd gone over and I've gone to Philly, "Oh, that Speed's here." He's like, "Yeah, you're taking the session." I said, "What?" I thought I was just coming down. I didn't think I was actually taking the session. Like the way Illy made it sound was that we was playing a game and I was playing against them.
Yeah.
So I took the first part of this session for my YouTube debut.
How did it go though?
I was sick, man. It was sick. And you know what it was? At the Sidemen game, like 2 days later, like Speed, like he missed a pen, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So I've gone into the hotel thinking that like Speed's not going to remember who I was on a Thursday night. And he's there and he said, "Coach, we didn't do penalties." And I was like, "This is crazy. This is Speed and that." And then like, so that was... That Sidemen game was quiet because these are all laughing me, but I signed a few autographs that day.
So fans were coming on, "Right, remember you from YouTube."
That's crazy. So we were getting to the car.
That's my glow up.
But see me, yeah, I said, "I like all that stuff." I'm like,
"That's the man."
So Illy was out, was going to the car. It was me, Illy, Carl. Carl's that does like the actual gym personal training for Chunks. Philly, Darkest and that. So we're walking through. And but Carl and that got stopped a few times at the soccer game a few months before. And then was walking through Westfields and this lad was like four kids and they were like, "Stop Carl and Illy." And then they had like, you know, the finger, like Sidemen, like the fan finger.
Yeah.
And he's got this finger and this kid went, "Wait, you're the pro coach from the NDO page." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, can you sign my finger?" And I was like, I said to him, "I don't know what to write." And you know what the kid said? He's like, "Well, on your Instagram, it says BCF, so just do a BCF." Yeah. So then he done that, and then there was a few more kids down there, like, "Yeah, I'm giving it the whole, yeah, I'm used to this, this is normal."
So that's
like the effect that the YouTube being involved with them lot has had. I feel like in the footballing world, people will recognise you a lot more, but since being with the YouTubers, that different side of things is, yeah, it's
different
crazy.
Different level.
Man. Crazy.
Yeah, talk to us about working with Stephen Bartlett. He's probably got the most viral podcast in the country at the moment, dominating the scene. I'm a big fan of his. So talk to us about how that opportunity came about.
Steve, again, right? It's mad. It was just like, I remember just being on, my notifications were off on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then I went onto the app and I've swapped into the DMs and it was like Stephen with like two messages.
Mm.
Again, I've never messaged him. I've never like mentioned him on a story. And I clicked on it. He was like, "Hi, mate. Want to get some football sessions in before soccer aid? Like, where are you based? When are you free?" So messaging him. Then obviously I got put in a group chat with him and his PA on WhatsApp. And I was like, "This is crazy." You know? And then again, I don't know what it is. It must be my luck because I have this thing where I get them all to sign a blank piece of paper with a HB pencil you used to have in school, but the HB pencil was not sharpened.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I first done it, it was the first time I thought I need people to engage on something. And if you look at all the posts I've done it with Chunks, Sharky, Nico, E-Man, SV. So, and people comment, yeah, but it's a blank piece of paper and not sharpened pencil. It's not a contract. But that's the whole point. I wanted people to, that's my little thing that I do. But again, it all rains. All my first sessions with these people, it just rains. And Steve come down. And again, he was another one that just, he was so like into what we was doing. And he had like the willingness to learn. And like, it was a bit crazy because I think at one point, because obviously he's a dragon as well, it like, I was explaining something to him and I could, he was really listening to me and I was like, oh my days, this guy's actually listening to what I'm saying. And I've watched you on telly and on your podcast, and so it was a bit, another again, a bit of a surreal moment. But again, proper, proper cool guy, super humble. And then after the session, like, his driver was driving Patrice Ever that night in London. And then I ended up saying to him, I'll drop. So I ended up having a car journey with Steve as well.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, which was mad. It was crazy. Yeah.
So like, what's been the moment like where you've had a, wow, I can't, from where I started to where I am now, wow, I can't believe it. This journey's mad. Have you had any of them like pinch me moments?
Yeah, I'll tell you, like, honestly, like over 10, like where you have to like, because I think if you know me personally, I'm a bit ADHD, like I'm a bit I don't take, away from work, I don't take it too serious. Like I just try to just enjoy life as much as possible. When it's work, it's like it's game time. But there has been probably like 10 moments. Like I was a junior gunner growing up. My mum used to take me to Arsenal, and I was actually at Ainsley's debut, which was a Champions League game 10 years ago now. So when Cordy hit me up, he's heard this story 10,000 times. But when he DM'd me, yeah, he's got some stupid Instagram name that just says Cordy underscore something something, right? So this, I had this whole message, hi mate, look after a Premier League player. But I hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. And you hear a lot of people that want to come in for sessions and don't. Set up a phone call with him. And then he said, oh, by the way, like, I look after Maitland Niles. And I was like, rah. But it's crazy because you know what? I never even said this to Ainsley. I don't even say this to Cordy. At the time when he broke in, I was probably at the age where I was like, how's this guy playing with Arsenal and I'm not? Do you get what I'm saying? But now I look back at how I've played and now I've done picture. Well, I've watched Ainsley. It's like, that's what I was trying to say. Like, I didn't really ever believe in myself with football. And not that I'd sit there and I'd said, oh, I hated on people my age playing, but I'd be like, oh, there, I love Arsenal. This guy's playing for Arsenal. This is like bullshit. Like, this is what I want to do. But, and then Cordy said to me, yeah, like, are you free tomorrow morning? I wasn't free on the Tuesday morning.
But you made and
Jonas,
yourself.
Yeah. My client Jonas will actually say, like, yeah, he actually called me and said, Jonas, I need to cancel this session, please. Like, and I made all that the time clear and free. And Ainsley come in, and that was in 2021, and the rest is history. And just touching on Ainsley, like, he's probably one of the hardest working athletes, like in the gym, on the pitch, that I've worked with. He takes the sport serious, and it's like this year when obviously he left Arsenal this summer, and I spent a lot of time at Ainsley, 4 to 5 weeks after we come back from Dubai, because he didn't have a club. He was a free agent before Lyon, and he was doing double sessions with me 6 days a week. Wow. And it's that's a side of the game that I think like armchair footballers or people that doesn't have an insight into like a footballer's lifestyle, and you just sit there and you think, oh, you know, they're footballers, they drive, they're on big wages, they drive nice cars. But when you're in certain situations as a footballer, being a free agent's one, when you've been at Arsenal since 6, and then you're a free agent, and it's like you don't, it's the unknown. Ainsley's always been at Arsenal. So this was the unknown for him, it was the unknown for me, because I was like, right, cool, the off season's done, I now have to plan for. We was doing it day by day because you never know when you're going to get a call saying you've got a meeting with this club. And what I see from him this summer, like I think the start, like the sky's the limit for him, because that was, we was in the trenches together, man. There were some hard days. Just two of you running on a pitch ain't easy.
So what is it that sets him apart in terms of like mentality? Like, is it that drive to just be the best?
I think I'm quite fortunate. It's not just Ainsley that's got that. Like Jay De Silva, Josh Onoma, done a lot of work with Josh post Dubai, Mukhtar, and it's like even Mukhtar at the start of the off season, he come to me and said, right, this is something I don't think I'm that good at. it's something I want to work on. Like, and I feel like it's easy to, when you're at the top, whether you're in Saudi or the Championship or the Premier League or the French League, when you're at the top, it's easy to go, right, this is what I'm good at, this is what got me here, and this is going to take me through the next 6 to 8 years. But when you turn around, like, the players that I work with, that's something all the players I work with, they've got the same mentality, so I'm quite blessed. I've never had a player, even like Jed Spence, I was doing sessions with him before he went to Leeds on loan, and like the mentality to come in and work on things that the players say are weakness, this is what I want to work on, that's a big mentality, I believe.
It's almost like a vulnerability, because you're accepting that, oh, I'm not good at this, you can help me, kind of thing.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. Or it's something that it's like, especially if you look at like fullbacks now, it's a very offensive game, which is why I'm probably not a pro, because I'm going forward and on the ball ain't my thing. But it's very offensive. But in training, at clubs, they may not be the ones to work on their shooting afterwards. So when they come in, they say, right, I want to work on this. You've got to think, you take 30 shots in training with me in the off season or on a Wednesday on your day off, then 30 shots, you can miss 29 and one might go in, and then on a Saturday one goes in, and it all comes down to that Wednesday work. And it's a little bit like all the hours I've done at Fitness First as a fitness instructor, which was relentless, all come down to moments like yesterday when I'm in Coventry on a Wednesday morning with Jada Silva. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's all the hours that people don't see. There's a lot of things that people don't see in your journey, and they come out in them small moments there.
So in terms of your business as well, are you open to like working with clubs? You had conversations with clubs about, I don't know, coming in, taking a few players and stuff like that?
Clubs in England, I've spoken to like S&C coaches at some clubs.
Okay.
Like, right, this is what this player needs to do when he comes in with you, because you've got to be on the same page. Mm. He can't, example, do legs on a Wednesday when he's at Watford, and then he's doing his extras with me on Wednesday evening, and I do legs again. That don't make sense.
Yeah.
So I'm in group chats with a lot of the S&C coaches at these clubs, with the gym stuff, so I know what I'm working on. But the pitch sessions, we only really do in the international break or the off season.
Okay,
because it's when they're not on pitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you come down to, because they're not actually on pitch.
So in that situation, would you be like speaking to the S&C coaches, or this is just like a similar to what they'll be doing at a club?
So for the pitch, what I'll do is I'll speak to all the players prior to the session and say, right, what do you want to work on? Some players will say, bro, it's just a normal session that you do with us. Some will say, right, can we do a high intense session today, or can we just do a technical session?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just base the session around that. But in terms of working with clubs, working in a club in England, it's not something that I've touched on. It's not something that I'd say I'd never do. It's something that I'd be interested in looking at, because as I say, I'm not the finished product, and I'd have a lot of learning to do when it comes to like team sessions. It's because it's a completely different ball game.
Mm.
6 to 8 players and 25 players is different. Also, the other thing is, like, the players that come to me want to be there. When you're at club, not all of them want to be there. You know, you got to remember, football's a job.
Yeah.
Football's a job, so it's you don't want to go to work every day.
Mm.
There's some mornings I wake up at 4 and think, oh my God, this is that. And I love my job. Footballers is the same, and YouTube's the same. So managing 25 players in a session, and maybe 5 don't want to be there, and them 5, you never know, them 5 might be the best at that club. Like, you hear stories of Hazard.
Yeah.
Not tying his laces.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be quite hard to manage, because then you've got to then also manage other players thinking, well, he's bothering it off, so why am I going to put...
Mm-hmm.
So that's something at this moment in time, as I say, I feel like I'm still quite young. It's not something I'd look into massively, but I did take on the coaching role for this club in Dubai. So I'll go to Dubai every month or every other month for 10 days to do like position-specific work. So again, it's not the whole team. I work with just the fullbacks, or just centre backs, or just the strikers. I'll sit down with the manager, understand what he wants from them players in that position, and then we'll go out there and that's what we'll work on, because it's all about repetition. Everything in life is that's how you'll get the best out in repetition. When you're young, I always say to my academy kids, when you learn how to do handwriting, you do the figure of eight, and you keep doing the figure of eight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing like coming in off the left and a reverse shot, I don't want us to do, that's what I was saying when using the session the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're all doing a reverse shot, because it's all good just getting out your feet and hitting as hard as you can, but the best players, as that ball's in motion, they know where they're hitting it, how they're hitting it, what technique they're using. So that's what I was saying
on the session Wednesday.
I want you all to do reverse inside. So whether it's the left foot players or right foot players, keep doing reverse, keep doing reverse, keep doing reverse, because repetition is the only way you're going to get good at something.
100%. And what's the end goal for you, if you had to say, like, what looks like the finished project for you? Can you share some insight into that?
Jordan Belfort. No, I think, genuinely, I'll be happy, man. I want to live a happy life. Mm. And just know that when I wake up every day, whether it's a Premier League footballer or it's Joe Blogg that's doing a 9-to-5, I'm affecting your way in a positive manner. And whatever I'm doing in my involvement in your life is positive.
Because also, like, with your role, you have to, like, almost be like a psychologist. Because some people can turn up and you can just see they're not at it today. Something might be going on in their personal life and stuff like that. So how would you adapt yourself to that? Do you try and bring the energy, or do you think, you know what, we're going to do a light one? How do you manage that?
This is something I learned about managers, and why I think managing a football club is hard, because, or managing in any job role is hard, because you've got to manage people. And managing you three would be completely different. You know, some people want, like, arm around the shoulder. Some people want hard authority. And it's like, again, going back to Ains, there was one session in the summer when he didn't have a club and was in the gym, and I could tell he didn't want to be there. And I looked at him, and in my head I thought, this is where I'm going to find out a lot about you. Because me and Ains are, and, like, he's that family now, called his that family, and that to me, so I'm close to them. But in that moment, I looked at him and I thought, you don't want to be here. You probably don't want to hear my voice no more, counting down numbers. Like, we've done the gym session. This gym session was done, and he had a heavy finisher on the bike, on the watt bike. And he looked at me, and I knew he don't want to be. And I actually thought for a minute he ain't going to do it. I thought, yeah, Ains ain't going to do it. It was at 8 o'clock at night in the summer. And he got on the bike, and it was the best numbers he hit on the bike all summer. And it's like, that is when you get to learn a lot about a person. And in that moment, I didn't push it on him. I said to him, Ains, this is down to you. Because I know Ains is a person, you can't be pushy. Where with, like, one of my other clients who I just do weight loss with, he needs to be pushed. So I have to be like, come on, Cordy. But you have to learn him. It's personal. At the end, it's personal training. 100%. Because at the end, there's thousands of personal trainers these people can go to. There's thousands of coaches they can ask to coach them. But your client is buying into you as a person, and that's how it becomes personal. So you've then got to learn, how do I manage this person and get the best out of them?
So how quickly, obviously I know it can be different, do you download that data to say, you know what, this person, I've got to be a bit standoffish and stuff like that, or this person I can push?
I would say, for me personally, it's something that I'm quite good at. Hence why I've got good relationships with all of my clients. Because it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. For ages, actually, to be fair, at the start, you lot have seen Ains play his face. Like, I don't know why this guy never looked happy. And it was like, after, like, the first gym session I had with him, yeah, like Jay, Ray Smiley, Joshy Smiley, and the first session I've done with Ains, this guy's face is like... And it's funny, because he's got a little man now, yeah, and his little man's got exactly the same face. Maybe it's just a game face. And Ains had this face, yeah, after his gym session. I was at him like... That was my first, like, big Premier League footballer. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, FA Cup winner, 6 caps for England. And I said to him, like, did you enjoy the session? Yeah, it was 6 still. I'm going to shout you, yeah? That was it. Off he walked out the door. And at the time, I thought, yeah, I got the snap for the gram anyway. But then he come back from a pre-season tour with Arsenal, and then we started in-season training. Ains was my first player to start in-season, like, gym training. He was my first one to pivot it, and a lot of players have followed now. And that was always one of my big goals. I want players to understand that doing in-season training in a gym is super important. It's what LeBron James does. I always say my business is based on LeBron James.
So before we wrap up, we just want to talk about life outside of your profession.
But is there life outside of his profession? Because 24 hours.
Yeah. What do you like getting up to at least try and wind down?
Bagatelle on a Sunday.
And what else?
You know what? I'm quite fortunate because like now it's like I get to travel to like Italy for Keynes at Udinese. I get like I've been to Lyon like 2-3 times now to watch Lyon. So like I'm quite fortunate that the thing I like doing is watching football, and I've now got to a stage where it's like every weekend I try to go to a different client game, whether that be Cov or Reading or like Michael Hector's at Charlton. So that's like my escape. I think unfortunately for the people close to me, their escape's trying to get away from me because when I'm with them, it's 100 miles an hour. But yeah, man, I just spend good time with good people.
So like, what's the cost of you? Like, obviously you're always on the road. When you're by yourself, like, how is it? Are you happy? Like, oh, I've got the best job in the world. Or is there sometimes where you're thinking, I need to look after myself, like you said? Or so, are you truly happy?
Am I truly happy? Yeah, I'm truly happy. I love my life, man. Like, genuinely, I love my life. And it's like, recently, Ains gave me a Pogo. You know, the Pogo, like the PS5, you put the PS5 in it, it turns and you can play PlayStation. I haven't had a PlayStation since like FIFA 19 was my last one. But it's funny because on my 10 year plan, I actually wrote down, and I forgot I wrote this down, have a FIFA team with your clients. Okay. And I'm actually 2 clients off of. I've got career mode, Coventry, yeah? Premier League. Get me? Jada Silva's there, Skiffer, yeah? But I've actually got, like, my FIFA team's at. It's got, like, Jay in it, Jonathan Panzu, Jake Clark-Salters, like, Mukhtar Ali, Ty Backinson. But for me, to people listening, they probably think, what's this guy talking about? But for me, that was one of my...
Yeah,
I'm never going to be on FIFA.
Hear that.
So what can I do to, like, feel like...
To be in FIFA.
And it's to do a career mode and have all my clients on one team. You know, that was one of my... That was one of my goals. So, yeah, so... Good times with good people. That's what I do in my spare time. And sleep, because I'm shattered, man.
What, are you shattered now?
Yeah, can you wrap this up? No,
how many hours sleep do you get? Average? 5, 6?
Nah, man. Like, genuinely, I probably get into bed at 11 o'clock and I get up at 4. So 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right. If I don't fall asleep, maybe 4. Like, I'd probably say if I actually look at it, probably about 4.5 hours sleep.
Wow, you're still able to get through the day. That's some stamina, man.
Yeah. That's something I've got.
We're going to leave it there. Brody, it's been fantastic,
man. Thank you.
Love for coming on, bro. Love for coming on,
thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Until next time, over and out. Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.